Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Dixville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
And we begin, welcome to show number 3027.
Along with Steve the Thrill Hill.
The Ted Smith. Robin Fox. And my cock.
Montgomery.
Thank you. Hired the men's room. On tap today from Loaded, Velvet Revolver, and Guns N' Roses.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan joins us.
Oh, don't give all his credentials. You make the rest of us sound bad.
As the men's room is back, get ready to play a little Profile This.
Plus headlines, men's room shot of the day, fun with listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Clack,
drinking and drunk.
All right, here we go. Detroit resident facing eviction is found living in deplorable conditions with 88 cats and one dog.
A couple is arrested at a hot springs resort in Montana, as while in the children's pool, she was playing with his hog.
Unlicensed teen takes dad's Aston Martin for joyride. Guess what happens next? A college student falls off a cliff while taking a selfie and sending a text. A dad of the year commits two armed robberies with his wife and daughter in the car.
Oh.
That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. Yesterday, we told you about a dog named Cactus, which is dumb enough. But this particular dog wandered off from home and then ran an ultra marathon in the Sahara Desert. Now, personally, I think that makes the dog an idiot, but people are loving this dog's story. And I don't know which one's more impressive, a dog that runs an ultra marathon in the Sahara Desert or the dog we told you about a few weeks ago that climbed a 23,000-foot mountain in the Himalayas. Same kind of deal. Stray dog, no one brought it along, just decided to like the hikers, went to the top of the mountain. More recently, there was a dog found swimming in the ocean by workers on an oil rig, 135 miles from shore. They assume it fell off of a boat, but either way, they rescued the dog, they brought it back to shore, and now someone has a new pet. And dogs, of course, are not the only pets that people have. Some people have cats. Here's good news if you're a cat owner. It goes to prove what you know to be true. Your cat just does not care about you. Researchers found out that cats do, in fact, recognize their name when the owner says their name to their cat. The reason it looks like they don't care is because they don't. One of the other things that people keep as pets are birds. Most people, however, have small birds like parrots or finches. There's a guy in Florida. He had a cassowary. Then I was saying, all right, a cassowary. If you don't know what it is, it's because you're normal. This is this giant-ass bird that's native to Australia and, I believe, Kenya. But like anything that comes from Australia, it can kill you. And a man in Florida that had one as a pet discovered this because he fell down. He fell down. And the bird ran over and killed it with its feet because it has 4-inch claws on each foot. But pets, they do the damnedest things. And if you've had a pet, you know it to be true. So here is today's question. What good or horrible thing did your pet do?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999-OLA. You can like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Hotels and away we go. Welcome to show number 3027. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat, I am sure.
I think so. I'm not feeling it today.
Okay, all right. The return of Ask the Men's Room is coming up right before we drink a toast with a shot of the day. Not only are we going to do Ask the Men's Room, but boy, oh boy, you know him from Loaded, Velvet Revolver, and Guns N' Roses Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Duff McKagan joins us in studio. He's got a brand new project out with Shooter Jennings and a new album called Tenderness, a bunch of songs he wrote while he was on the road with G&R. So he's going to come in and talk about that.
It's weird to anyone else that there's two people working together, and when you take their first names, I bet you don't know anyone with Duff and Shooter.
It sounds like you're on the Duke of Hazzard.
He's like, yep, Duff and Shooter coming to town.
Down to get Duff and Shooter and get things done.
Like, that's what you would name your dogs, right? Like, you got two dogs in your Jeep. Duff's the one with the bandana.
Like, Shooter's the one with the sunglasses,
like,
bruh.
Duff's the one that, like, steps on your gun while it's on the ground and accidentally shoots you. You know what I mean? Like, it always comes from, like, one of those, like, Hunter, shot in leg by own dog.
Yeah, Duff.
I think Shooter... it's the name of the mascot at Marist College.
Marist College?
Where's Marist College?
It's in New York.
What? Why on earth would you know that?
Is it a real
you
dog?
You can't bring up...
It's a red fox. The Red Foxes. But Shooter is the name of the Red Fox.
How did you know that?
That is the least
because
relevant...
Because my cousin played college football there. His now wife went there. One night he was real drunk. Uh-huh. They convinced him, his now wife, girlfriend at the time... is inside the mascot costume. Some reason he takes offense. She comes home from being at the basketball game. He's like, "How you never tell me you were Shooter?"
Was she Shooter?
No.
Oh, she just made
but
it up.
But to this day, we call her Shooter.
Shooter.
So that's the other Shooter I know.
Okay. You know what? You know a Shooter.
Damn. Duff McKagan coming up on the program. So we're very excited about that. And we'll drink a toast with a shot in a day.
That is as random as it gets.
Jesus. If I'm not mistaken.
You imagine being upset if your girlfriend didn't tell you she's the mascot?
I'd be upset. If you didn't know, like, why wouldn't you tell me you're the mascot? I just don't know why he believed
look,
you.
Look, if no one could see you in there, what's the difference?
But you're dating the person. I mean, wouldn't you say, like, hey, man, by the way, most people don't know this. I played Chewbacca, right?
Okay.
No one would know if I'm walking down the street. But if I'm dating you, certainly I'd be like, hey, you might not know this.
Well, like, look, the team doctor, the team trainers, the assistant coaches, anybody that travels and goes basically gets on the same plane together along with the teammates.
Sure.
So all those people go. Sometimes the athletic director jumps in with his wife or depending on what the business is at hand. But in our case, the mascot always got on the plane, too. Now, when I play college football, the mascot was a human being.
But it's just a dude in a hat.
It is. Okay, but that's the
one. I mean, you know he's the mascot.
Right. He is identifiable because you see him all the time.
But if I'm gritty from Philly.
If I'm the Syracuse Orange, you know, or whatever, like.
Orange,
Nobody really knows who I am. It's just this one guy that gets on the plane with us all the time.
And there's multiple ones.
Unless you can figure out who it is.
Yeah, generally there's a football one. There's a travel guy, like, inside the costume. Sometimes a guy just does basketball.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You got to have at least three mascots. What if one goes down?
Somebody gets sick?
Okay. I didn't know her.
Dude, mascot 101.
I knew a friend. She had a friend, and she wanted to be the mascot for the Oregon Ducks, all right? And the way they set up the audition, it's almost like you're auditioning for a play. There's like five people, athletic people, sitting in an auditorium. And you walk on stage, and apparently you're in the costume, and you do whatever routine you're going to do, and they make their judgments, all right? So this woman walks out there, and I guess she starts doing a routine. The point is, at the end of it, she fell on her back. But the feet were too big. She couldn't stand up. So, as I understand it, she's rolling around on the stage. No one's helping her, so they're just watching her struggle. Finally gets to her feet and just walks off the stage. Did not get a call back.
Yeah.
It's tough business being a mascot, bro. That's all.
Okay, look. Let's do something that would really, really excite my cock, okay? Let's just imagine, all right, for 1 minute.
I hate that statement.
That the Mariners would win the World Series.
Okay.
All right?
Probably hit a home run in.
Now you have the Mariners moose, like he's like charging the field.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
his arms in the air. And there's this iconic picture of the Mariner moose with his hands up, the team's jumping up and down, you know, and you're the Mariner moose. So you have this picture, right?
Right.
And that's you. But like someone comes over to your house, you know what I'm saying? Like, you say, like, that's me in the Mariner Moose thing.
And I wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, right.
It's like saying they hit a hole in one.
Right. Well, that's serious. Like, prove to me that that is you on that very day. And, like, here's the thing. Nobody gives a crap if that guy, like, he's not important unless he puts on that costume, which has to be an incredibly weird experience. Like, you go from being just this guy that no one knows, and no one, I mean, you're just you're no different than anybody else, right?
All right.
And then you put that costume on, and you are the Mariner Moose.
Dude, it's being a superhero.
Kids love you. Women love you. People want to get their picture taken with you. You are the man anywhere you go. You take off that hat and it's a lonely, depressed, awful, single existence of sadness and despair. But whenever you need that pickup, you just put on the moose hat and you go off and everyone loves you. It's almost, you know, it's got to be depressing in a way, wouldn't you think? Because no one cares.
No, because a lot of the mascot guys like it, though, too, because they have
anonymity.
That. Yes.
Oh, bull crap. I think if you saw that guy in, like, the Met, he'd be like, hey, man, I'm the Mariner Moose. Like, yeah, right, whatever, buddy.
But wait, what is the code on that? If I am the Mariner Moose, if I'm Gritty, and Phil, I keep referencing Gritty because that is the worst slash best name for a mascot, can I tell, I mean, not like go on the radio and tell people, hey, I'm the mascot, but if I'm next to you at the bar and we start talking, like, hey, by the way, man, I'm Gritty. I'm your boy Gritty. Like, is that okay?
I don't think you do. No. I think it's a Clark Kent. If I walk up to you and you're Clark Kent, right? And I go, hey, you're Superman. You're like, no, I'm not. I'm a reporter. I'm Clark Kent.
That's why, because if you know me, people are going to try to kill you. No one's going to try to kill you because I'm Gritty. But, like,
I don't think they tell you.
I think you can tell. Here's the deal. A lot of mascots are, like, super fitness people. So you're not going to run into him in a bar anyhow.
Okay, good point.
But, okay. Yeah, I mean no, look, if I was the mascot, I'd tell everybody.
But here's the thing. So if you said, hey, I'm Gritty, inevitably, so, hey, man, let me get a selfie. They goes to social media, but then your cover's kind of blown. And because that has not happened, I got to think that there is some kind of mascot code, like, hey, bro, you can't go around telling people you're Gritty, all right? I'm the Mariner Moose. You're Gritty. You can't say a word.
All right, so does the guy say, you know, I like my gig. It's good, but I got to be honest with you. Philly Fanatic tore his ACL. I got a call from my agent last night. There's a chance I might have to move to Philly. And, you know, I mean, as far as jobs go in this business, the Philly Fanatic, I mean, let's face it, top three, easy.
San Diego Chicken.
I got to go take this gig. You know, it's the problem with the San Diego Chicken is you got to act like you care about Padre baseball. So at least with the Phillies, you know what I mean. You can go out there and the fans go crazy, and people at least like your team.
You know what I mean? They actually show up
when you go to the Padres games. They're there to see the visiting team.
Someone just chimed. They said, "I knew a psychiatrist that was the TCU mascot, Super Frog, as an undergrad."
Super Frog.
I guess you're not supposed to tell a bunch of people. I'm reading like the rules of a mascot.
That's what I mean. There's no way.
It's top secret, isn't it?
Because people would take selfies.
Well, it's not top secret like Disney. Like Disney, you really can't tell somebody if you're Mickey Mouse until years later.
Same thing with Ronald McDonald.
What do you mean, how long do you got?
They have a weird code, man.
I wonder what that is.
If you're a Ronald McDonald, they only, I don't know if it's still the same, but my last understanding was there's only 5 official Ronald McDonalds at any one time. Therefore, if Ronald needs to make an appearance for the kids, they can fly him where he needs to go. Now, we know someone, man oh man, oddly enough, who was a Ronald McDonald way back in the day, but it was the same thing where he couldn't tell you until a certain amount of time had gone by.
Huh, okay.
But you certainly cannot tell people you're Ronald McDonald while you are Ronald McDonald.
If you're Mickey Mouse, you could have like pictures in your house like you and Bush or you and Clinton or Obama or Trump or whoever, and people are like, you're like, there I am with the president. You're like, that's Mickey Mouse. Like, well, yeah, I was Mickey Mouse. Like, well, that doesn't count. Like, if it's you, it matters. But if you're in that costume, you're someone completely different. Like, no kid wants to randomly hug you if you're not in that costume.
So
nobody wants their picture taken with you.
Nor would I let my kid hug you if you're not in that costume.
It's
got to
be incredibly depressing. You know what I mean? Like,
do you post those pictures in your house, though, right? Because, like, look, I was Mickey Mouse. I've met the last 7 presidents. But what's the point of putting up the picture if no one knows you're Mickey Mouse?
Exactly.
Okay.
It's still just amazing to me how pissed off my cousin was when he was all drunk and convinced his girlfriend was a shooter. Those are fake animals, though, Miles. Today we're talking real animals.
We are talking real animals. And we start with a story that happened in Bangkok. A dog found swimming more than 135 miles from shore by workers on an oil rig crew in the Gulf of Thailand has been returned safely to land. This dog looks like it is absolutely wiped out. We have seen the pictures of the dog who climbed the mountain we'll get to. We've seen the pictures of the dog that ran an ultramarathon in the Sahara. This poor dog looks like he's been through absolute ass. And not only that, man.
You know why?
How did he not get eaten?
This is the difference.
How did he not get eaten?
You have the dog that did the marathon. You have a dog that climbed a mountain. I get that those are physically challenging, but you're not fighting for your life. The dog in the ocean's like, look, man, like those other dogs, if they decided they wanted to stop doing whatever.
Sure.
They could say, if I stop paddling, I die.
You're treading water for 135 miles offshore.
You don't think
that any shark or anything would swim up and go, what in the hell is this thing out here? I mean, you're making all that racket. You know what I mean? You're swimming. They know you're there. How did that dog not get eaten?
But the thing is, we don't know the full story. It could have been one of 15 dogs. The other 14 were.
A worker on a rig belonging to Chevron in Thailand said on his Facebook page, the dog was sighted last Friday swimming toward the platform. He saw the platform. He was coming after him.
Yes.
The crew managed to rescue the dog by putting a rope around his neck and hauling it up. He said the crew speculated it might have fallen off of a fishing trawler and dubbed him Boonrod or Survivor. The dog landed Monday at the southern port of, Shankla, and was declared in good shape after being delivered to the animal protection group Watchdog Thailand. So the dog ended up okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Miles. One last mascot thing.
All right.
No, this is worth hearing. Says, hey, guys, I've done lots of mascot work.
Okay.
I've done lots of mascot work. Tony the Tiger, the Geico Gecko, even Scratch the Wolf from 100.7 in Seattle, Washington. I'm a short white guy who can't dance, but putting on the costume changes you. It gives you confidence. Ted is right.
But then when you take it off.
But he's still confident. That's what he's saying.
You got
even though no one knows who you are, he's a more confident person because he realizes he has the ability to entertain people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even though he's a disgusting, horrible-looking human being in real life.
You know,
we all know we have a mascot friend in common, right?
We do?
Well, I'm not going to call him out on
this. Just write it down. I don't know who the hell it is.
A mascot friend in common? Tiny penis guy?
Tiny penis guy.
Who is Tiny Penis Guy?
I think we know who it is now.
Is it me?
No,
damn it.
No. I thought you would like this.
But that guy's entertaining outside of it.
True.
I imagine he would make a good mascot.
Okay.
Yeah. Guess so.
I've learned a lot about mascots.
I just think you'd be lonely. Some hot woman walks up to you. You know what I mean? You get a picture like, I love you. You're one of my favorite mascots. You're like, yeah, I love you too. You just want to take her to Red Robin.
I'm gritty.
Wait till I take this head off and you'll hate me.
Well, and there's mascot. Well,
I think that's when you tell people. Right? Exactly. I mean, the chain, like flooding you at the bar, man. Like, hey, by the way, I'm gritty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you knew that. I'm Squatch.
Yeah, no one's buying you a beer. No one knows who you are. It's got to be incredibly lonely.
Can you wear the mascot outfit?
Did you check your game out last night? I'm the mascot. I've been to every game.
Yeah, I saw the game.
Year. I'm there the whole time, even an hour afterward. Yes, I saw the game.
In fact, I spilled beer on you.
Yeah, exactly.
I shot you with a t-shirt cannon.
Now let's get down to Florida. A large flightless bird native to Australia and New Guinea attacked and killed its owner when the man fell down on his property in Florida. Fire Rescue Department in Gainesville said that the cassowary killed the man Friday on the property, likely using its long claws. The victim, whose name was not released, was apparently breeding the birds, according to state wildlife officials. It looks like it was accidental. My understanding is that the gentleman was in the vicinity of the bird at some point, fell, and when he fell, he was immediately attacked.
Think about that. You fall down and instantly this giant-ass feathered dinosaur comes rolling over.
If you look at a picture of this thing, it looks like it's just pissed off and wants to kill you.
It's designed to kill you.
Cassowaries are similar to emus and stand about 6 feet tall and weigh 130 pounds with black body feathers and bright blue heads and necks. The San Diego Zoo website calls cassowaries the world's most dangerous bird with a 4-inch dagger-like claw on each foot. A cassowary can slice open any predator or potential threat with a single swift kick. Powerful legs help the cassowary run up to 31 miles per hour through the dense forest underbrush.
Wow, man.
And they're not raised for food in the U.S., but are sought after by collectors as exotic birds. You have to have a permit. I guess this guy had a permit. Either way, he's dead. Wildlife officials did not answer phone calls late Saturday. I mean, well, yeah,
I got a permit. Well, good, at least you had a permit. You know what, you're right. Right. I mean, like, I had a permit, so it's okay.
Okay, whatever.
Man, oh, man. That's, I don't know. Something about being killed by a bird just seems like such a candy-ass way to go. And listen, that bird, this thing, it's a monster.
Well, wait a minute. There was that guy on a canoe that was killed by a swan. Remember that one? That was
yes! Do you think that sounds awesome?
No,
think
that
about
sounds
your, right. You
terrible.
Get mauled by a tiger. It's like, look, maybe you put yourself in a stupid situation, but everyone understands. You don't need a lot of details. You go, look, it was him. There's a tiger.
Yeah.
When you say I was on a canoe, and I saw a man killed by a swan, that sounds terrible.
This thing's got 4-inch talons. It killed that guy in Florida.
Yeah.
I'm in a rowboat, or I'm in a canoe. I have an oar.
Mm-hmm.
This is a swan. I'm taking that damn thing's head off.
Oh yeah!
If it's coming to me, man, I'm swinging that oar like a basically. Like
or
a
if
paddle.
I'm that scared, I'm maybe going into the water
like a baseball bat. I'm knocking that thing in the head if it attacks me. I mean, I'm sorry. I know it's a swan and everything, but
no. Look, once
did you see Black Swan? Some of the swans are evil and mean.
Yeah, had to bring that up, huh?
Yeah,
Black Swan.
Mila Kunis,
evil ones.
Oh, I thought it was the blaxploitation film, Black Swan.
Black Swan, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, dancing in the ballet.
Our question, what's a good or horrible thing did your pet do? 844-999-HOLA. We will take a quick break and come back with your calls right after these. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
From Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Duff McKagan coming up on the show. In the meantime, the question, what good or horrible thing did your pet do? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola.
Long time, first time.
Okay, thank
welcome
you.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah, so a number of years ago, my girlfriend at the time and I decided that we would adopt a dog from a shelter. And
why did you choose to adopt instead of having natural birth? And people as I adopted a dog, like, I got that. I know you adopted the dog. I know that neither one of you birthed the, or when people say, you have a really good looking dog. I'm like, I have nothing to do with that.
If I could birth a puppy, I might do it.
Oh, dude, if I could birth a puppy, I'd do about a puppy.
I mean, probably, you know what I mean? Like, if I want a puppy, I mean, you know, why not?
Like, once in your life, you can give birth to a puppy.
So
when you need a... Yeah, absolutely.
I take a couple days off work. I'm not feeling too well, eating a lot of chocolate, just hanging out waiting for my puppy to come.
Yeah, but this dog was tied up to the fence at the animal shelter on over the weekend and left there over the weekend just tied to the fence.
All right, we got an email. I think we know whose dog that was previously.
And so we adopted that dog, and everything was seemingly going fine. And one Friday afternoon, I was working downtown, and I got a phone call from her, and she was sobbing, and all she could say was, the dog, the dog, the dog. And so I said, well, what's going on? She goes, you have to come home. We need a new pet.
Uh-oh.
I was like, what? So I get home. And go upstairs and imagine a baked potato with sour cream on top.
That's what your bed looked like?
We had a futon at the time and a down comforter and two down pillows. The futon was the baked potato. The comforter was the sour cream and along with the pillows.
So basically, but did the dog get into the futon and rip that open as well?
The whole thing. There was nothing left.
You know what?
Wait, hold on. You mean like the dog ate everything?
Yeah. No, she didn't eat it. She just ripped it all apart.
Did you?
She was sitting there wagging her tail in the middle of everything.
Did you?
Yeah, because that's fun.
Did you? Was that the bed you slept in?
Yes.
Okay. And this was you and your girlfriend and you lived together?
Yes.
Okay, in all fairness, and I'm not just saying this, I think the dog realized, like, you got to get out of that futon stage after a while. And it's kind of that weird era, like right at the end, your early 20s, mid-20s, late-20s. So the futon is a very practical thing, but even sometimes, you know, there's a time for it to be gone, I think. So I think the dog was just saying...
I highly agree.
It's time for you to get a regular queen-size mattress and get a bed and get yourself situated and live a better life. So maybe that's what the dog was trying to tell you.
Yeah, that's what the dog was trying to tell Miles. Yeah. That's exactly... That dog was looking out for you.
He had a few hundred or a thousand sitting around for a bed.
Yeah. Beds aren't cheap
mattresses
at all.
Are cheap.
Oh, my God.
So I spent the 2 hours vacuuming up feathers and futon fluff. This is like Friday at 4 o'clock or Friday at 5 o'clock at night. Well, she went out and bought a new bed at 5 o'clock.
And did the dog ever rip through anything else, or was that at one and done?
Oh, no. There was a time when I went to the grocery store and took her in the car with me and was in there just for, 10 minutes. Came back in the car and noticed that there was something wrong, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And then I looked over to my right. The dog was in the back seat. And the headrest on the front passenger seat was gone.
So what? How long did you have this dog, man?
16 years.
Jeez. Did it ever stop eating everything or shredding it?
Eventually, yeah. She was just a nervous dog. I think she was pretty severely abused when we adopted her, so she...
The dog that was found tied to a stake outside by itself at the pet shelter. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but no, she went through a number of bathroom towels and shoes and
she's great for downsizing. You know, I mean, you got to look at the positive on this. I mean, most people don't need all the crap they have anyway. So,
you know what, man? Maybe that's the answer for shows like, Hoarders?
Just bring in a dumbass.
We got you a nervous-ass dog, right?
An anxiety disorder.
You step out of your house. It's going to help you downsize by eating the 40 years of newspapers that you refuse to get rid of.
These gaudy throw pillows anyway.
Right.
What good or horrible thing did your pet do? 844-999-OLA.
Does it bring you joy? No. Send the dog in.
See, it's reverse pet solutions.
Jeez, yeah. The only hard part is keeping that dog tame at home.
Right. She's my house.
Destroying furniture on command.
Right. Yeah, the story coming up of a dog named Cactus who wandered off and ran an ultra marathon, and the dog named Baru who climbed a 23,000-foot Himalayan mountain with a group of climbers. That's all coming up.
Wearing North Face.
Hola! The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.